This is the Will Pod Podcast.
You need to go see the Cooper Brothers store right now. They are located in Castle Hill Towers Moor, Level 2. They do all your accessories, tires, bow ties, suits, shoes, socks. If you have anything, an occasion, the races, a wedding, definitely go hit up the Cooper Brothers. They are our sponsor for the podcast. Right now, they are offering 20% off discount for all listeners of the podcast. The online code is TheWill. And if you go to the store and use the code TheWill, they will give you 20% off. Please go visit them. Hit up their Insta, their Facebook, whatever you need to do. They are your best option for gentleman's gear right now in Sydney.
Hi, guys, and welcome to The Will. I'm your host, Willie Laulu, and this is episode number 12. We're excited to bring you today's episode as it is a new sport. We are actually doing the WWE today. So with me today, I've got two friends. So I've got Dan and Jake. How are we, guys?
Oh, I got to tell you something. I'm excited. Where am I again? I don't even know where I am, brother. That's right. I'm on the wheel. I can't wait to talk about the Rumble. I love talking about wrestling, brother. I can't wait to hear what everyone's going to say. And if you say something out of this world, I might just have to roll you up, brother.
Let me tell you something, mean Will. You're no mean Gene, but I'm really excited to talk about the Rumble, brother. I've been saying my prayers. I've been taking my vitamins, and I've been training these 24-inch pythons, brother. Let's get in.
We are ready to go. Thanks for the intro, boys. Let's start it off. The Royal Rumble was last Monday, so all three of us spoke about it during the Rumble. So what we're going to do, we're going to recap the Rumble first, and then I will ask the guys what we will do. We'll do the Royal Rumble, and then we will leave our WrestleMania predictions to the next podcast for the Mania. And then what we will do, we'll roll into a prediction of who we think will be male and female, so one each, who we think will have the biggest 2019. And then what we'll do after that, we will roll in to Shoot Your Shot. For Shoot Your Shot today, we have three parts. So for the first part, it'll be our top five on the microphone. The second part will be our top three greatest matches of all time and why. And then we will do the five greatest wrestlers of all time and why. Then we will move on to One Gotta Go. We didn't do this last episode. We will actually do a female one. So I haven't told the guys who will be in it and what is going on. But there'll be five female wrestlers and one has to go in the group and why. And then for Rapid Fire, we will do a Tag Team Stable Edition. So 20 teams, 10 matchups. You got to pick one team, rapid fire, nice and quick. So we will do that as well. And then we will close up the pod. Guys, let's talk Royal Rumble. So just a quick recap. Seth Rollins won the male. Becky Lynch won the female after losing early on in the night. She was a surprise entrant. Feedback, go ahead, go for it.
Well, I thought everything about the Rumble was too predictable.
Yeah.
To be honest, like even after the first match when Becky lost to Asuka, you just knew she was going to come out in the Females Rumble and eventually win it.
Something interesting on that first match. So apparently the reason why she tapped out was because she got legit injured with her knee. And then literally she's carried that into the Rumble.
Yeah.
But apparently that's why I think the finish was supposed to be different, how it went down. Because, it all happened quite sudden. Like, all of a sudden, she just tapped out. And there wasn't really any kind of rhyme or build-up for it, so.
I'm with Jake. I think it was predictable, and it was safe. So there wasn't too much surprises. I mean, the only real big surprise, I guess, was Jeff Jarrett in the male Rumble, but he got done pretty quickly, and then the Nia Jax thing.
Even Dolph Ziggler was a bit of a surprise for me.
I think it was because of his position, though. I think that's where he came in.
Yeah. Actually, another surprise was how quick Dean Ambrose came in and went out. But at the same time, after the Rumble, we found out that he's not re-signing his contract and he's going to leave WWE, so it's not really a shock now.
Yeah. Bobby Lashley, well, how long did he last? 10 seconds? A lot of heavy names went quite early in the Rumble, which is really weird. Drew McIntyre didn't last as long as I thought he was going to.
I thought he would have been Final Four for sure.
I was a bit disappointed in that.
I thought he was Final Three for sure. Shinsuke didn't last too long. Granted, he won early on in the night. But as a previous winner from last year, he kind of didn't last, I think, anywhere near what I thought he would. The Nia Jax thing, what do we think about that? Not a lot of words to say there.
No.
I didn't mind it. I think, like, I found out that there's so she's a part of the select company of, you know, Beth Phoenix, China, Karma or Kong, whatever she was called.
Yeah.
So to be in the both, to be in the men's Royal Rumble, but there's only two females that have ever done the both men and women's, and that's Nia Jax and Beth Phoenix. But Nia Jax is the first one to do both on the same night, so I suppose that kind of makes it a bit more special.
And eliminate people in both.
And eliminate people in both as well. So I think I think she got a bit of a raw deal on the women's one. I feel like maybe she could have been a little bit more dominating, to kind of just be a bit more imposing. And then when she goes into the male one, she's exactly how she should have been in the female one, and it took, you know, four guys to get her out, and she took a bunch of finishes. So after, you know, probably having a not so great showing in the female one, going into the male one and, you know, taking as much finishes as she did kind of made her look a bit stronger again. So
yeah,
thought that was good.
Yeah, I agree there. It was funny. Like I said to Jake during it, I thought it was quite funny, but it was wrong. It probably shouldn't have occurred. We were hoping for maybe a Kevin Owens return or.
Oh, that would have been great.
Yeah, Kenny Omega, anything like that. Something different, like something out of the ordinary.
Yeah, there was like far less legends came in. Jeff Jarrett, Kurt Angle, that was it. Like, who else really came out?
Yeah, no one. Really no one. Not even in the females. I thought you'd get like a Trish Stratus or a Lita come in or something like that, but nothing like that happened, which I guess is good.
I think the good thing that they did was instead of like showing all of the surprises with like legend returns and stuff like that, they actually showcased a lot more NXT guys, which was good. Yeah. I think it's good for NXT brand, and it's good for the guys that are going to come up, like Aleister Black. Like he came in and just, you know, he had a great setup against Drew. I reckon like if he gets called up to the main roster and then he ends up having a program, like him versus Drew McIntyre would be great.
Yep.
But even like Johnny Gargano and a lot of the women's one was very heavily NXT based.
Yeah, I think it's good that they're trying to build up the younger brand. I mean, it doesn't hurt to have a legend here and there return for ratings, I guess, and for excitement. But I mean, if you're trying to build a brand, it's best to start it from the ground up. So I think that's what they were trying to go. Remember 2 years ago when they had like The Undertaker, Brock, Goldberg, and they sold it that this was going to be the greatest Rumble ever, and it was terrible.
Yeah,
it actually was a horrible pay-per-view, so I guess they're going in a different route. It was safe, but it wasn't bad. Do you agree there? It wasn't great, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, it was a solid Rumble. It was a solid Rumble. You can't really fault much on it. Yeah, like you said, it was very safe, like not a lot of risks were taken.
So throughout the night, obviously there were other matches. So we had AJ lost to Daniel Bryan. We got new tag champs in SmackDown, so the Bar lost to Miz and Shane. Then we also had the Universal Championship, Brock against Balor. Balor lost, which I think was the match of the night. What did you guys think of that match?
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was match of the night for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I just didn't like the finish. I thought the finish was too quick.
Yeah, considering Balor did all the work lead up to it, and then it was just like real quick snap, he lost.
I like that Brock sold Balor as a credible threat.
Yeah.
Brock's good at selling.
Yeah, Brock's a great seller.
He gives guys their due, like he helps put them over as best as he can and stuff. But I would have rather I agree with Jake. Like I'd rather the finish been a bit different.
Yeah.
But I didn't I was happy that Balor got a lot of offense in. I would have liked to have seen maybe a couple of finishes from him just to kind of, you know, push the hype a little bit more of maybe he could win.
Yeah.
But I thought it started straight. I thought it started really well, like straight off the bat. He's gone hitting those drop kicks and, you know, those chops, and then, you know, Brock's, you know, acting like he's like torn a muscle and stuff. So you know, it did do Balor more favors than it did him harm losing.
When that match started, I immediately thought of Brock and Goldberg at Survivor Series. And I thought Balor was going to do him in a minute. I was actually getting really excited about that. And then it didn't happen. I thought, oh, here we go.
I think it wouldn't have... I think they could have gone out of Rumble either way. Like, if Bala had won, like, the roof would have blown off the place and people would have been even more hyped up for Mania. But yeah, having Brock keep it, people are just going to show up to Mania because they just can't wait for him to lose. Everyone's just so sick and tired of him being, like, he's great by himself, but he doesn't need the title. He hurts the company and hurts the belt being the champion. Like, yep, he's great, and I'm, you know, I like his matches and I like him as a character, as a, like, that the big beast, but he's just not, your champion should be there all the time. Yeah, he's not there all the time.
I don't consider that belt a world title.
It's just a non-entity, really. Like, it's not important. But also, like, look at the US title. That title means nothing either. Like, they jump, hop, skip, and around with that belt. It's, you know, it's no longer credible. It holds no meaning. The IC titles, that's actually not been bad. Like, since Rollins had it and they had that match at last year's Mania, it's kind of got a lot of credit. It's gotten a bit of credibility back into it, so it means a little bit more. Especially when Rollins was, like, you know, carrying Raw, and, you know, he kind of went like the Monday Night Rollins stuff for a while because there was no Brock. But, you know, you go back to all of that, and then you see that now Seth wins the Rumble. They've been building this for a while.
Yep. And I think he's due for another title run anyway.
It's been a long time.
Good. Yeah, he's that good. He deserves to kind of be up there. So we all agree Bella Brock was a good match.
Yeah.
And then Asuka, obviously we spoke about it before, Asuka beat Becky. Becky went on to take Lana's spot in the Royal Rumble and then ended up winning the Royal Rumble. So with that, since then, obviously the winners get to pick who they want to fight. So Becky had the option of Asuka again at Mania or Ronda. She's gone Ronda. Seth has obviously gone Brock over Daniel Bryan. So what do we think leading up towards Mania? What do we think is going to occur? We've all said it on a chat, on our messenger chat, that we all agree that Becky and Ronda will be the main event at Mania. So it will be the first female main event. But what do we think regarding Charlotte? So we all think maybe Charlotte will join in, maybe she won't. It just depends on the creative team. So what do we think is going to happen there?
I thought about this last night. And leading up to the Becky, sorry, not the Becky, the Sasha and the Ronda match at Rumble, you know, Sasha was throwing up the four to Ronda, and then Bayley was throwing up the four and stuff, and then Becky threw up the you know, the four horsewomen sign to Bayley as she's coming into the ring to challenge Ronda. And they've been going back and forth on social media about how Ronda's beat the faux horsewomen instead of the four horsewomen, because she thinks that her little stable of four horsewomen of MMA chicks that are all down in NXT at the moment, they're the legit deal, and obviously, you know, the real WWE ones feel the same way. So I think what's going to happen is they're probably not Elimination Chamber, because there'll be too much focus around the tag championships.
Yep.
But I think probably at Fastlane there'll be an 8-women tag match between Ronda, Shayna Baszler, and the two other chicks from NXT, can't remember their names at the moment, versus Sasha, Becky, Bayley, and then they'll slow build Charlotte trying to get back into it. And I think probably maybe the week before or 2 weeks before, Charlotte will accept, and then they'll go in, and then I think Charlotte will screw them at the match, and then that's what brings that's how Charlotte will get inserted into the match at Mania and make it a triple threat.
Yeah, I like that. I like that, Lynn. Jake, what do you think about it?
I think Becky and Ronda, I think it should just be a one-on-one match.
I agree. The problem is,
who do you have Charlotte face?
Asuka.
Yeah.
You have a rematch and win the belt?
I think they go rematch.
Asuka win. Yeah, and then go one for one. So, obviously, Charlotte beat her last year and then just get Asuka win again. Win this year. And then if they want to go a third one, they can do it next year.
Didn't we also talk about how, like, if they had the four horsewomen match, then, and say they win, and then say Charlotte does versus Asuka, wins the title, and then Becky versus Ronda wins the title, you got Sasha and Bayley win the tag championships, then all of a sudden the four horsewomen run WWE.
Yeah. I can see that, and it could be like an evolution type thing.
Yeah, I like them that.
As a female evolution. Yeah. But then if we were to see, like, say if they went that route and then they didn't do the four horse, like, the two teams against each other, what if the rumors are true that Ronda wants to leave after Mania, she's going to have to stick around again a little longer so they can get that 4-on-4 match if we do that route, because it'll be the four champions against Ronda's four girls. I don't know if they if they're all the champions before Mania. I don't think they can do the 4-on-4 match.
I don't think they'll do it. It'll happen before Mania. I don't see them doing it after, because yeah. I really think there's a strong chance Ronda does not. I think she'll be there for the Raw after Mania,
and then
probably done after that, because her contract expires Mania.
Yeah, yeah. So we there's two ways. So what do we think will happen, and what do we want to happen? So I think Charlotte gets added in, but I want it to be a singles match.
I think we're all in agreement.
Yeah,
on that.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to just have Becky win and beat Ronda clean and have it just be a great 1-on-1 match. But I don't think they probably trust, if it's going to be the main event of Mania, Vince probably doesn't trust it just down to Becky and Ronda. So he'll probably want to throw Charlotte in there just for security. But I think for it to mean something, for it to really like get over and really solidify Becky, like, because I think Becky will win. I want Becky to beat Ronda. And if Ronda's leaving, it shouldn't matter. Ronda's been undefeated. Yeah. She shouldn't leave undefeated.
Yep.
She should be beaten.
So if it's a triple threat, we all agree that she should just pin Ronda and not Charlotte.
Correct. Because then it sets up a feud for Charlotte coming out of Mania.
Yeah. Which will suck, because I assume that Becky wins regardless, and then they'll just kind of push it towards Becky and Charlotte again, and then I just see those two feuding for like half of the year. And to be honest, I don't know if I want to see that, but
I don't think so, because I think they always have that superstar shakeup draft, and I think Becky will get drafted to Raw. She'll be Raw actually.
Yeah.
But Charlotte will probably stay on SmackDown, and then I think, like, Becky will need to feud with maybe Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax. Her and Nia Jax would be a good one, because coming out of that face-breaking thing.
Yep. Yeah, that'd be a good one. Nia Jax and her would be good. And if we go over to the men, so I think Seth beats Brock. I think he beats him clean. I just think they'll just kind of move over from the, the UFC champion phase. So I think Brock and Ronda both lose. And I think Seth and Becky both win. I don't know what happens with Seth moving forward. I don't know who he's going to feud with, but he's got a few candidates to feud with, so it should be decent.
I think Balor deserves a shot.
Balor would be good.
It would be a rematch of how when the Balor championship. But also I think maybe McIntyre is probably a strong. I think what's going to happen with Balor is he's probably going to take the IC title off Lashley.
Yeah, so he gets some kind of belt.
Yeah. I think it'll be good, because it's also a first time ever, like first time both Rumble winners win titles at Mania.
Yeah. I think it's a strong possibility. I can't see them. I mean, if Ronda's going, I think Ronda is 100% losing. And I think she knows that.
She has to.
With the Brock and Rollins, I think he'll win, but you never know. You never know with the WWE, I guess.
I think it depends on whether they want to let Brock go or not. I think it's all depending on UFC at the moment. But apparently there's a... I saw something on the dirt sheets yesterday that Chris Jericho is trying to recruit him over to AEW.
Who, Brock?
Yeah.
Well.
So, and Paul Heyman's, currently negotiating between the UFC, WWE, and AEW.
Yeah.
Because AEW's got a big bankroll, because the guy that owns the Jacksonville Jaguars is bankrolling it.
Yeah. Bit of money there for him. Any other thoughts regarding the Rumble, boys?
Bar losing to Miz and Shane.
That was garbage. Yeah. Didn't agree with that at all.
Because Shane McMahon's not even a wrestler.
Yeah.
The Bar's the best tag team in WWE, maybe apart from the Usos.
Yep.
It's the Miz and McMahon's first match as a tag team.
And they win.
And they win.
a big pay-per-view.
And
they can't keep it.
At last year's Mania, the Bar lost to Strowman and a 9-year-old kid.
Yeah, so
I don't know what they got against the Bar, but they're the best tag team.
Yeah.
So they need the belts back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Miz and McMahon won't have the belts for long.
Yeah, they won't. Someone will turn on someone, and I assume it'll be Miz. Miz will go back to being a good heel.
He needs to be a heel.
Yeah, he's really good at it. He's probably the best heel in the company when he wants to be a heel. Yeah, so what we'll do, we'll move on. No one else has anything else. So what we'll do, I've asked the guys to make a little prediction. So we'll do bold predictions, but then we will do one male and one female superstar. Sorry, to watch for this year. So what I'll do, I'll go first here. So I've predicted, let me pull up the answers. So I predicted my male superstar will be Drew McIntyre. So as I said earlier, I thought he was going to last a lot longer. I had him in the top three with Seth and Strowman, and then I thought he would either win or just get done out in the third as a third spot. But he got done. Was he even in the top 10? Did he make the top 10?
Yeah, I think he was top 10, but I don't think he didn't last much longer after.
Yeah, much further than that. So I had him winning the Rumble, so I was quite disappointed that he didn't make it any further. But I do see he will have a massive year this year. And then my female is the Aussie, Rhea Ripley. She's a UK champion. I think if they feed her the big brute female type of character, I think she'll do it really well because she's quite big. So they are my predictions for this year. Jake, who are your male and female predictions for this year?
Male prediction, I'll go Andrade from SmackDown Live.
Yep.
He was a beast in NXT. I think he deserves more.
Yep.
But he's having a good series of matches right now with Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, Rey Mysterio. Really good, hopefully
Rey can help him develop a bit more. But yeah, I think, you know, he needs a title run, hopefully. If not, at least give him the US title. Yeah. And female, Mandy Rose.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go Mandy Rose. I think if she gets the right push, she could be like what Carmella was when she was the champion, just coming away with all these victories, but then rubbing everybody's nose in it.
Yep.
I think she can have that same dynamic. She'd
probably suit that kind of persona as well,
yeah,
the way she is.
Good heel.
Yeah, she is. She's a really good heel. And she's getting better too. You can feel a push is coming for her soon. You just got to just sitting back and waiting for it to see when it'll happen.
Yeah.
But hopefully she gets one soon. DC, what are your male and females for this year?
I think that Bray Wyatt's going to come back and he is going to be inserted into, I think, especially after losing Dean Ambrose after Mania. I think Bray's going to need to come back and be a heel, and it'd be a really good, nasty one too. So I think Bray's going to come back and have a good year. Then for the female side, probably Nia Jax.
Yep.
I think her title run was way too short, and I think she'll probably get a better one this next time around.
She won at Mania, though, last year.
Is that she beat Bliss.
Yeah, Mania. Wow. She didn't have much longer after that.
I think she lost it on the next pay-per-view.
No, she lost it at... Didn't she lose it at Money in the Bank?
Oh, that's right, yeah. When
Bliss cashed in.
Yeah, because Ronda was versus Nia Jax and then Bliss cashed in. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's right. And then Bliss lost it quite quick after that, didn't she?
Yeah, Bliss got back hurt, to Ronda.
Oh, yeah.
But they were also going to put the belt on Ronda at the same time.
To kind of prep up for what we were talking about before. They were always prepping for Charlotte and Ronda, always.
And then
Becky's just kind of had this little run as the man out of nowhere, and now she's the hottest thing in wrestling by a mile.
Yep.
So they're just sticking with her.
I've already ordered my Becky Lynch shirt for Mania.
You see, bro, do you know what's crazy? If we go back to it, sorry to cut in. Did you see how many people in the crowd in Raw had the man sign? Like, the whole crowd
was
with the man sign.
It's the new yes movement.
Yeah, literally. They just don't know what to do with their hands. That's the funny thing.
I love it.
Like, you saw some of them like try to chant something and they didn't know what to do with their hands.
Yeah.
So they're like holding up their sign. So Nia Jax is your one. And you had Bray Wyatt as your male.
Yep.
I hope Bray Wyatt comes back strong. I don't... Yeah, he needs to be a heel. yeah, has to be a heel.
He's built for it. His character is just built to be a heel. For
a heel. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I can't see him as a face. It'd be too weird.
Yeah, it's just yeah.
And then any bold predictions? So my brother-in-law actually came up with this idea. Big shout out to Pete. So he said ask the lads for bold predictions for this year. So I think we've made a few. We think Becky will win the title at Mania. We think Seth will beat Brock at Mania as well. What other bold predictions do you want to throw out there for this year?
Daniel Bryan remains champion all year.
No, I don't hope not.
I hope not as well, because I do not like Daniel Bryan at all.
Yeah.
But as a heel, I am actually loving it because it works. And now they've, you know, he's brought in his new vegan belt, or whatever you want to call it.
How bad is that? No,
I just think, yeah, I think he's going to have like a CM Punk run.
I've got a bold prediction. Batista returns for one last run.
You reckon?
Yep.
Seems like you know something there, brother. You want to fill us in?
I did hear. So his is training coach. He works with the company that I signed with for supplements, and yep. He was trained.
You want to shout them out, bro. Shout them out.
Redcon One, guys, best supplements in the world, fastest growing supplement company out in the world. So if you want a 20% discount, use my coupon code at checkout T20. Dan Carr. So his coach was having a bit of a sit down interview with him after going through some stuff, and Batista said that he is preparing for a return to wrestling eventually.
Mm. They kind of teed that up at the SmackDown 1000.
Yeah, when he came back.
I think what the original plan was, he was actually supposed to verse Triple H at Mania, but Triple H then got injured at the Australian show. So that was that kind of threw a spanner in the works. But I also talked to Triple H's strength and conditioning coach Joe DeFranco, and he said that he's well above schedule for recovery. So there's a chance that he could even have a match at Mania.
Who, Triple H and Batista, or just Triple H in general?
Just probably Triple H in general.
I like that. I wouldn't mind seeing Batista come back and have one run. It'll be, hopefully it won't be as big as a flop as Goldberg's run was, because that was horrible.
Yeah, I think if he does come back, like, let it be organic. Like, let him be a heel if he wants to be a heel, or like, don't push him to be a babyface if he's coming back to a strong brand that's got a lot of faces on it. And I think that's the problem with how it went last time, is he came back, they tried to push him as a babyface, but it's in the middle of the Yes movement. There's no way that was going to work. He should have just gone straight back as a heel.
Yeah, I agree.
No. Anyway, that's my prediction.
Anyone, any other ones? Jake, you seem like you have a few thoughts, brother.
Well, there's plenty going.
I'm trying to think of... Obviously, I wouldn't mind Brian... I don't like Brian having the title, but I do think he may hold it for the rest of the year.
I don't think so. I think he'll drop it at SummerSlam.
To who? Who takes him?
Whoever
I don't
wins.
Think I'm going back to AJ. I don't think I'm going back to him straight away.
Someone will cash in on him.
I wouldn't mind. See, out of the guys that in the Elimination Chamber, so there was, who was it? It was Jeff Hardy, Samoa Joe, Randy Orton, AJ Styles. Or was it Mustafa Ali? Yeah, it was Mustafa Ali was the fifth. I wouldn't mind seeing Samoa Joe have a little run.
He deserves one.
He's a good wrestler. He's probably one of the top five on the microphone at the moment. How good... Did anyone watch SmackDown when he...
His promo was... That was so good.
How funny was that?
Joe's promo was great.
Yeah, so he's bright, real ruthless. He's a great... He's a good heel. He's actually one of the best heels in the company at the moment. And then his promos are real ruthless. Like, I'm pretty sure he gets told off for what he says, but I don't think he really cares. So I wouldn't mind seeing him get a title run, but I think Brian will hold for a little longer with that little... vegan belt. It's how hideous is it? It's disgusting. It's horrible. Any other predictions there, Jake? What were you thinking of?
Can't think of any at the moment. There's plenty I could come up with, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It's a bit hard on the spot.
Yep. What we'll do, we'll roll in. So that was our little recap and predictions for the year. What we'll do, we'll roll into Shoot Your Shot.
Shoot the J. Shoot it!
For today's Shoot Your Shot, what we will be doing, it's a three-part. So what we will talk about is, let me pull up my thing here. We will be talking about the first part is the five best on the microphone and why. And then the second part would be our personal three greatest matches of all time. And then our last segment will be the five greatest wrestlers of all time and why. People don't know this, but we actually taped this earlier this week, and then we had a few audio difficulties. So if the boys want to add in anything different from then, we can do. So that will be Shoot Your Shot for this week. So what we'll do, we'll roll into the first part. So the first part would be the five best on the microphone. So, Jake, you want to start, and then we'll go DC, and then we'll go myself, and then we'll roll back the other way for the next segment.
So, five. I'd probably go between The Miz or CM Punk.
Yep, at the fifth spot.
Yeah, between those two. Four, I'd go Jericho.
Yep.
He's based on the mic. Three, you'd have to go Paul Heyman. Listening to that guy talk on the mic is awesome. Yep. He's fantastic. Yep. Two would be John Cena. Yep. And one, I think pretty obvious, The Rock. I think no one tops The Rock on the mic.
How good was he on the microphone? He had the whole package. He actually had the whole package, that guy. But, so that's your top five on the microphone. DC, top five on the mic.
Number five, Cena. Number four, Ric Flair. Number three, Dusty Rhodes. Number two, Stone Cold. Number one, The Rock.
So we've got unanimous The Rock there. So I'm going to make that three for three. So I've got, at five, I've got Heyman. Like Jake said, he's really good on the microphone. He plays his character really well. Number four, I've got Chris Jericho. Probably... besides The Rock and Austin, I think he's the funniest on the microphone. He's probably got the best jokes and the best promos. Number three, I've got CM Punk. In his heyday, he was really good on the microphone. Number two, I've got Austin. And then number one, obviously, I've got The Rock as well. So we've got three for three on the microphone there. So what we will do now, we will roll on to the three matches. So what we have, I've asked the guys to do, I'll start this on off, and then the boys can kind of mix up their list if they want to. I've asked them to pick their three favourite matches and why. So what I'll do, I've got a few honourable mentions. I've got five honourable mentions before I give you my three. So what I've got, here's just a few of them. So I've got CM Punk vs Cena, Money in the Bank 2011. I've got Bret Hart and Stone Cold, WrestleMania 13. I've got what I probably think is the best females match ever, Bayley vs Sasha, NXT TakeOver 2015. And then I've got another women's match, Sasha vs Charlotte on Raw 2016, where she did the bank statement on that poll in the crowd. And then my final honourable mention would probably be the most famous match of all time, Mankind vs The Undertaker 98, King of the Ring. Probably not known for positive things, but it was a good match. So I rolled into my top three. So third, I've got Rock and Austin, WrestleMania 17. So I think the whole storyline suited it. They were the two biggest names in wrestling at the time. And then Austin obviously turned heel at the end of the match and won. Number two, I've got The Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 25. One of the images that sticks in my head is how badly The Undertaker botched his landing when he jumped over the top rope. Pretty sure any normal man would have broken their neck by that one. And then number one, I've got The Rock versus Undertaker versus Kurt Angle. So there was a triple threat at Vengeance in 2002. I think the highlight of the night, match was all of them did their own finishes on themselves. So I think that part was quite cool. The Rock obviously ended up winning that one. So that was my favorite match of all time. DC, what's any honorable mentions in your top three matches?
I've got two honorable mentions.
Yep.
First one is Triple H versus Shawn Michaels, Hell in a Cell at Bad Blood. I think that was probably one of the greatest cell matches ever.
Yep.
The second honorable mention is going to be Cena versus CM Punk at Money in the Bank.
Yeah, that was poor hard boy. That was a good match.
That crowd was awesome.
That was a
And the crowd, yeah. I was going to say the crowd was crazy.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the best matches that Cena has ever put on. Okay, so my top three is Batista versus Triple H, Hell in a Cell at Vengeance 2005. That spine buster on the steel steps was fantastic. Second will be Triple H versus Undertaker at WrestleMania 27.
Yep.
And number one is Macho Man Randy Savage versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat for the IC title at WrestleMania 3.
I like it. Steamboat was the man, eh? Steamboat was good.
Even his matches against Flair in like the late 80s before he went to WWE was so good.
Yeah. Steamboat sort of put on some really, really good matches. I've got a side note. I actually was watching it the other day. So you know how you just said, I think it was your honorable mention. No, it was your number three. So you had Batista and... Oh, no, sorry. Your honorable mention, you had Shawn Michaels versus Triple H in the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
You have that. Do you know what was another good Hell in a Cell match that happened really recently? The Usos versus New Day last year at Hell in a Cell.
Oh, that was great.
That was good. I watched them watching it, and they were kind of explaining like what happened during the match, and that I couldn't believe how good that match was.
That was those two tag teams are just out of it. Like they're phenomenal.
Yeah, together they had really good chemistry, and they were kind of talking it through like some of the movements that actually killed their bodies during the match, but obviously just got to keep going. So Hell in a Cell was, out of the more recent ones, that was one of the better ones, the better matches in Hell in a Cell. We'll move on to Jake. So you got your honorable mentions and your three matches, bro. Go for it.
We've got plenty of honorable mentions.
No problem, man.
And anything that Kenny Omega is in, for sure.
Side note, when do you think he would come over?
I reckon he's going AEW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the WWE is screwing themselves over with how they use, I think their creative is screwing the opportunity to steal other people, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Plus, Omega wouldn't have the freedom in WWE that he had in New Japan. And I think it would just kill his character.
I think he'll get forced to do a lot of what Vince wants him to do, and I don't think it'll work.
Yeah, I mean, look at Nakamura.
That's what I was going to say. Look at Shinsuke. He was the biggest thing on the planet at one point.
Do you mean shit stain Nakamura?
You don't rate him?
Not anymore.
No, not anymore. So I agree.
When he came over, dude, I remember the first time he came out and everyone was blown up. And I was like, dude, who is this dude? And then I obviously heard the buzz that he created before he came over. But now he's literally probably like 10th highest person in SmackDown. Like he's nowhere near the top.
I think his losses to AJ hurt him. Yeah, because he just got bounced around. He got bounced around, got the US title straight after losing to AJ. And then he kind of fumbled that around for a little bit. I'm just yet to see I get it. He's the Michael Jackson of WWE, but I'm just yet to see something awesome from Shinsuke.
Yeah.
Before leading up to Mania last year, I actually liked Shinsuke. Then he won the Rumble.
Yeah.
And then he had the match with AJ, and that match underdelivered. I think everybody had such bigger expectations for that match, and it was horrible. It did not deliver at all.
It wasn't memorable at all. Yeah.
No. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm yet to see. Shinsuke's going to have to knock a couple right out of the park in order for me to kind of believe in him again.
Do you think, going with the Kenny Omega thing, do you think Shinsuke regrets coming over?
Well, Hideo Itami does because he's leaving.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. I was thinking about him when I asked Jake about Kenny Omega because he had nothing. He had no opportunities. He's talented as hell. So that's why
he also got hurt a lot too.
Yeah, that's why I don't think Omega will come over because I think he knows it'll be kind of suicide to come over and lose.
I think he was always going to go to AEW. I think he's too close with Cody and the Bucks and they provide too much freedom creatively and yep. and it's way too competitive. Like, they're just, yeah, the product is better because they let them be a wrestling company instead of doing hokey gimmicks. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jake. So, you anything with Kenny Omega?
Yeah, right. Matches that stick out to me were is the one against Jericho at Wrestle Kingdom. The yep. 2 out of 3 falls match against Okada with Dominion. And at All In against Pentagon Jr. Other honorable mentions would be Orton and Michaels at Unforgiven.
Yep.
2003. Obviously, Cena and Punk.
Yeah, Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank. And also Cena RVD at One Night Stand 2006.
Oh, that was awesome. Oh,
that was dude, that was great. Off.
Oh, yeah, that was a really good one.
Yeah. Just the crowd giving it to Cena.
Yeah. Oh,
fantastic.
Man.
And the way that he walked through the crowd just holding the belt and keeping his head down, that was good.
And even like before the match when he's throwing the shirt into the crowd. Yeah. And they're just throwing it back at him, and then one guy's like spitting on it, throws it back at him and gives him the double birds. that was also good. I really enjoyed that match.
That whole pay-per-view was good.
Yeah, that was lethal. That whole I remember the crowd was insane, man. That was crazy. That was a crazy pay-per-view.
And I do think if Cena won, they would have rioted. It would have been a massive riot.
They would have went after. They would have chased him massively.
I was watching Cena's DVD the other day, and his dad was, I think it was his dad or someone else, was saying after that match, they had to basically get him straight in a car and get him out of there.
Joey Styles was saying.
There were fans outside ready to pummel his face in.
Oh, 100%.
Jeez.
But you know, it's crazy, man. Like, that man, he's put on, like, if I stretch it to a top 10, Cena would feature in at least 3, I reckon. I think he's put on some really, really good matches.
I want to throw one more honorable mention there. Sorry, Jake. Cena versus Edge at Unforgiven TLC.
Oh, yeah.
That was, when they finished the rivalry off, that was awesome.
What, out of more, his more recent fights, I think I just thought about it now. Cena versus AJ Styles at, I think it was SummerSlam.
That series of matches was good.
He put on a really, really good, and that was when everyone was slowly starting to fall off him because he was making the transition to Hollywood. So he's put on some really good matches. So that RVD one, that was a good one. Good pick up there, man. So that was your top 3 there, Jack?
Oh, that was just my honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions.
I'm sure there's more, but that's probably for another podcast.
Yeah.
Top 3, Austin Michaels at Mania.
Yep.
Basically, you know, when Austin took over the company, put the company on his back. But that match, after everything that happened to Shawn Michaels, the stuff that he did with his back, the way it was, just, it makes me cringe sometimes. Some of the bumps that he takes, and then when he did the kip up, I just think I hate that guy. But I don't. It's just I hate him because he's doing it.
Yeah,
and I can't even do it, and I don't have a bad back. number 2, Randy Orton versus Chris Benoit at SummerSlam.
Is that the one where Orton won?
Yeah, youngest champion. And also, it happened to fall on my birthday, so it's always going to be up there for me.
It's a special thing there.
Yeah. And then number 1, Austin Rock, Mania 17. It's my favorite match of all time on what I feel was the best pay-per-view of all time.
Yeah. So we spoke about this prior. That was the TLC between, was it Edge and Christian, the Dudleys and the Hardys?
TLC 2 and Taker, Triple H.
Yeah. Now you think about it, that was a really good pay-per-view. And then I think it was in Texas as well, eh?
Yeah.
And they had like 80-something thousand there at that time. Crazy. So that's your top 3 there?
Yeah, that is my top 3, yeah.
All good. So speaking of Rock and Austin, what we will do, we will move on to the greatest of all time. So this is highly debatable. Every time someone talks about the greatest of all time, there's always what ifs and buts and stuff like that. So I've asked the guys to pick their own top 5. That they think is the greatest, so not who they is their 5 greatest of their opinion. I mean, 5 greatest of their favoritism, who they think is the 5 greatest. So what we'll do, we'll start with Jake, and we go DC, and then we'll finish with myself. So Jake, from 5 to 1, who are your greatest wrestlers and why?
Okay, number 5, I've got Hulk Hogan. for the 80s, what he did in the 80s. I think we'd all agree he basically made wrestling what it is.
He owned the 80s. And
if he doesn't exist, wrestling isn't as popular as it is now.
No, 100%. But yeah, not that, yeah, for what he did in the 80s, not for his run in WCW, even though I think his heel turn is the best heel turn of all time when he joined the NWO.
Yeah. Yep.
Number four, I've got The Undertaker.
Yep.
Longevity. Main reason for that. He's been around, 50, 60 years maybe now? just the way he's been able to keep his character going, even change his character, and it's like nothing has changed. Like when he went to American Badass and then made the switch back to the Dead Man and kept it going like nothing had changed.
Yep.
Number three, I've gone Shawn Michaels. Missed out, had 4 years taken off his career because of a bad back. I think he carried the company, 96 to early 98?
He carried it. I think he carried it like a little earlier to around the 97, 98 time. And then that's when Austin and The Rock kind of took over from there.
He had 4 years taken off his career, came back in 2002 and didn't miss a step. And like I said, in my favorite matches, you watch him and think, I hate you.
Yeah,
but what you're doing. It's hard to hate him. Maybe it was easy back in the 90s, but you can't hate him. He had an extra 6 years, 8 years when he came back?
Yeah. He retired just before 2000. No, he retired kind of late-ish, but he kind of stayed off and stayed on, didn't he?
Yeah. So I got him number three. Number two, I got Ric Flair.
Yep.
You can't talk about wrestling without mentioning Ric Flair. 16-time world champion. He could wrestle in the ring, and he was good on the mic as well. He could easily stay at the top of his game. Did it for so long. And another thing as well I was thinking about, he made people look good in the ring. He could make anyone look good. Like even when he wrestled Bischoff.
Yeah.
You know, that's
similar to Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels made people look better than what they were as well.
And then number one, I've got Stone Cold. You know, he put the company on his back in 98 and brought them back in the Monday Night Wars, put them back on top, and then just never looked back. Top of his game, you know, he was working there 97 and then took over 98. I don't think there's ever been a hotter superstar than him. I think Becky's getting there, but I don't think she'll ever hit the heights that Austin did. Yep. You know, you just watch a Monday Night Raw from 98 and the glass shatters and the crowd goes off. It's deafening.
I think he has the record, not the physical record, but I think he has the loudest pop ever.
Yeah.
And I can't remember exactly. I think it was a Raw, but if you go on like top 10 lists or whatever, loudest pops, he's always got the number one. It's always the same entrance. I can't remember exactly where it is, but his pops, I think the only person to come somewhat close to his pops is The Rock. Yeah. Those two were the hottest things he could possibly get in regards to pops, but I agree there.
And the thing about Austin is he basically had like 3 good years in the WWE because he was off for 2000, came back 2001, was champion on and off there, was injured again, and then, you know, left in 2002, and that was it.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen more Stone Cold.
Yep.
But I think what he did still, like, for me, keeps him at number one.
I agree.
So there's my top five.
DC, hit me.
Number five, John Cena. Cena deserves to be in top five. I don't care what anybody says.
Everyone needs to kill their hate for John Cena. The man's carried the company for over 10 years.
You're pushing 20.
Yeah.
Like, he debuted in 2002. He became world champion in 2005. Like, where
and he's pretty much had it on his back since.
And he's just been carried it ever since. It's only been probably within the last 12 to 18 months where he's taken a step back.
Yeah.
But he, like, when wrestling was kind of in that weird phase, going from the whole Ruthless Aggression into the PG era, he is what carried it over. And he and his matches speak for himself. Like, he's had some of the best rivalries in history. Like, his rivalries, The Rock, Edge, AJ,
Randy Orton,
Batista, Triple H, like Chris Jericho. Like, he's had some of the best rivalries ever. Like, probably more rivalries than really anybody. And even against the old guys. Like, the old guys wrestled new guys every single week and stuff because they traveled around to towns. And obviously, like, the business was different. But Cena was putting on top matches with top guys all the time.
Yep.
So he deserves number five. Number four, I'm giving it to Undertaker for the same reason as Jake. Like, he's just been around forever. And he is... like, he's always put on good matches and stuff, but he's just the best character that has ever been created in wrestling. There's no pure character that is better than Undertaker. Like, and the way that he commits to it, like, he doesn't break it. He doesn't, like, he is 100% the Undertaker. And the streak, like, I disagree that the streak, you know, was broken. I think he should have retired it, but
let's break your thing there. Let's just have a little 2-minute chat. What was everyone's thoughts when the streak was broken?
That guy in the front row with the eyes wide open.
Dude, that was.
Every time I watched an Undertaker match, when someone else did a finisher and they started counting, I just expect they're going to kick out before three.
Yeah.
When I heard the third. Like the third hit on the mat, I wasn't even looking. That's the funny part. I wasn't looking. I was looking on my phone. I heard the third knock on the ground, and I looked up and I was like, "What just happened? What the hell?"
It's one of those things where it's the one time you don't want them to give you a surprise.
Yeah,
yeah.
You want them just to keep people, it as it is.
Out of all people, that prick.
Yeah,
I understand why they chose him, but at the same time, I don't believe that it still shouldn't have been broken. Like, to me, there are three things in life that were always constant. It was death, taxes, and Undertaker's streak.
And Undertaker's streak.
And it was just, I think someone used that in a promo one time, but it was, even though that, like I would get sucked into the match and, like, there would be elements where you think, oh, shit, maybe he can lose, and, oh, maybe this is it. But it never happened. And then all of a sudden, Brock comes along. And I expected the same thing. Brock will lose. Like, it'll be a hard match. But, yeah, Brock will lose.
Yep.
But, yeah, I think that I don't agree with the streak being broken. I think the streak should have only been broken if he was going to walk away for good.
Exactly.
Yep.
If I think that, like, if Brock was going to break it, fine. But Taker should have retired. But instead, he comes back.
He was coming back.
Yeah.
They knew he was going to come back to next year's Mania. Why would you break it?
And that's because the thing,
there's nothing to sell it anymore.
He goes into WrestleMania 31 with a match against Bray Wyatt, which should have been way better than what it actually was. That was a horrible match. And Bray did all the build up by himself.
Yep.
And then he fights Shane McMahon, and then Roman beats him.
So he's
lost twice now, he's got at Mania. Two. Yep. Yeah.
For something that was going to be so formidable, and now it's down to two.
Like, I understand the old guys can't last forever, but yeah, I think that if he was going to lose, he lost once and then he retired.
Yeah, I agree. And then just to have that person, I just have Brock break it. That just irks me.
But
like, I get it, but
like, but Brock's a fantastic heel because we hate him. So, Taker's number four, number three, Ric Flair, because Ric Flair, the '80s belonged to two people. While Hulk Hogan was mainstream and he had all the attention on him, Ric Flair was like the wrestler's goat. Like, he was just, he always put everyone over. He put on great matches. He was wrestling 60-minute draws. Like, Flair was, and Flair is probably the best heel that there's ever been. yeah, his stuff in the '80s with Ricky Steamboat and even like the stuff that he had with Terry Funk and stuff like that was they were great matches. Like they still stand up. Number two goes to Hogan, because Hogan, without Hogan, WWE doesn't exist. It just flat out. WWE does not exist without Hogan. And I loved his WCW stuff. Like, I thought when he turned into Hollywood Hogan, it was, it was just cool. It was just cool to see him so edgy and stuff, but still kind of like holding the same kind of type of character. And then number one is Stone Cold, because like Jake was saying, like, you'd listen to any time Stone Cold made an entrance in the 90s, let alone today, and it is the loudest possible noise you'll ever hear. Yep. It's just ridiculous. Like, he is more over, even though Flair and Hogan had longer careers, Austin is more over than anybody in the history of wrestling. Without question.
Yeah. It'd be a close second behind him, but he'd be number one.
Yeah. Rock is up there, but Austin is just that little bit above.
Yeah.
Plus, he's everything we wanted to be, because he just walked into work every Monday and told his boss what he thought of him.
Yeah.
Beat up his boss. Who doesn't want to do that? Yeah.
Oh, I walk into work 100%. Every Monday still wanting to do the same thing. So
I agree. And then, I like that. I'll roll with so I'm glad DC kind of rearranged his. So I actually rearranged mine as well. So at five, I've got Hogan. Professional wrestling in general doesn't exist if he doesn't, if he's not large in the 80s. Number four, I've got The Undertaker. To me, The Undertaker is like the Jay-Z of hip-hop. His longevity, he's always stayed relevant. He'll always be in your top five. Some may say he's your GOAT, but he'll always be somewhere in top five. So I've got him there for purely for longevity and just what he's been able to do. Three, I've got The Rock. The Rock was only really prominent for 4 years max. And in that, people have already putting him in the greatest of all time conversation. So he was good. Yeah, he had the good look. He was really good on the microphone. Wasn't a great technical wrestler, but he sold things really, really well. He put people over as well. So I've got The Rock. And like DC was saying, Austin is the most over, and I'd have The Rock right behind him in second. Second, I would have Austin, which was hard for me because I've always assumed him and The Rock were one and two, but I want to put Austin at two purely because how over he is and his whole character and how he played into it. Number one, I have gone Ric Flair, so I've changed mine. So I've got Ric Flair purely for longevity, wrestling ability, microphone ability, everything that he did. It's hard to knock Ric Flair at number one. So Jake's gone Austin, DC's gone Austin, and I've gone Ric Flair for your greatest. So that's Shoot Your Shot for this week. What we'll do, we'll punch on really quick to our One Gotta Go.
It's time for one Gotta Go.
So for today's One Gotta Go, guys, I actually haven't told you what it is. So it's a female edition. So I'll give you five female wrestlers. You have to pick one to go and why. Okay, so here they are. So we've got Charlotte Flair, Trish Stratus, Lita, Sasha Banks, and Paige. Jake, for you, who goes and why?
Charlotte goes for me because I hate her.
What? Here's the question. What do you hate about her?
I just hate her in general. I don't know. Something about it that I don't like. And I just think...
Oh, you're not alone, brother. I know heaps of people hate her. Like, she gets so much hate on her Instagram. It's funny as...
I've got to check that out. Got to join in.
Yeah, watch her post. She gets hate everywhere on her Instagram.
I don't know. I don't like her. I think she tries to be her dad too much.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard when that expectation is thrust on you, though.
But here's the thing. She can actually hold herself in the ring, though. She's a really good wrestler.
I'd say
really good
talent. She's way better than Rick ever was.
In the ring?
Yeah.
Athletically, yes.
Promo-wise, no way. But in-ring talent, yeah, she's better
actually
than...
She's actually quite cringeworthy on the microphone. She's actually a bit cringe with some of the stuff she does.
I think she's cringe in general.
Don't say that about it, mate.
Sorry, mate.
Don't say that. So you're going Charlotte. DC, who you going?
My initial answer was Paige.
Yep.
But I'm going to change it to Sasha.
Yep.
Reason, Sasha. I think, well, they're all good. They're all really good.
Obviously.
And yep. And Sasha, like, Sasha is definitely no slouch. But
yep.
Paige had her career cut short. And I feel like if she was given the opportunity and also health didn't play a role, she would probably be as over, if not more, than Becky Lynch.
Yes. Who, Paige?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I do agree there. So you're going Sasha. So mine, I've gone the complete opposite to what DC said. So I've gone Paige purely because just her career was cut short and I don't think I got to see the best of Paige. But I do agree if she was given her career where it should have been, she would probably be Becky Lynch right now. If not more over. So I'm going Paige there. So DC, you've gone Sasha. I've gone Paige, and Jake has just got some hate for Charlotte. So obviously the two untouchables is Trish Stratus and Lita. No one mentioned them. Trish Stratus is my goat at the moment for females. But I do think Charlotte will make a push at some point. I think Charlotte's right there. And she's got... Look at Jake. Jake's not liking this at all. but I've got Trish as my greatest of all time at the moment for females. But what we'll do, we'll move on from one got to go, and we have rapid fire. So here, guys, I'll give you 10 matches or 20 tag teams, and I just need you to give me an answer and why really quickly. So I won't do this one, but I will read you the teams and then just give me your answer, and we can smash them from there. So, first match, I've got Legion of Doom versus the Hart Foundation.
Hart Foundation.
Legion of Doom.
Nice and quick. Okay, second one, we've got the Hardys versus the Dudleys.
Hardys.
Hardys.
Third, we've got New Age Outlaws versus Edge and Christian.
Edge and Christian.
Edge and Christian.
No love for Road
Dogg. As much as I love the New Age Outlaws, gotta stick to my boys, ENC.
Fourth, we've got Brothers of Destruction versus the Steiners.
Brothers of Destruction.
Brothers of Destruction.
Yeah, great tag team. Stable, DX versus Nation of Domination.
DX.
OG DX. OG,
oh, yeah, DX for sure.
Yep, we've got a more recent one, the Usos versus New Day.
Oh, wow. I'm going to say Usos.
Yeah, Usos.
Yep. Stable, The Shield versus the Wyatts.
Shield.
This was probably the hardest one. This was the biggest one. Another stable. NWO versus Evolution.
Oh, Evolution.
Yeah, Evolution.
Oh, man. Next one, Team Hell No versus Rock and Sock.
Rock and Sock, man. Come on.
Yeah. Rock and Sock.
Rock and Sock. How good. And then the last one, we've got the APA versus Los Guerreros.
Los Guerreros for me.
I'll go APA on that one.
APA. I like the APA. That was good.
Eddie Guerrero.
I liked the whole...
Eddie was just too funny, man. Eddie was just too entertaining to not pick him.
And a good wrestler.
Yeah.
And a really good wrestler. Yeah.
If there was a top 10, he's in it.
Yeah, for sure.
For technical, he's top 5. Like technical wrestling.
Yeah.
He was right up there. So that's our rapid fire for the week. So guys, any final words on WWE at the moment? And then we will probably do one before Mania. But any final words?
Who did everyone, so for each Rumble, like we know who won. Who did everyone pick to win?
Drew McIntyre. I put $20 on.
Who did you pick for the women?
I had Charlotte because I knew Becky would win. But Charlotte wasn't. I put money on Charlotte because Charlotte was the top option because Becky wasn't in there yet.
Yeah,
yeah. So I would have gone Becky if her name was originally there, but I went Charlotte because I thought it was a given that Charlotte was going to win had Becky not entered.
Yeah. What about you, Jake?
Yeah, I originally said Becky for the women's. As I said when we started, like you could see it coming a mile away. It was too predictable. For the men's, I had a few actually. I had Orton, Kevin Owens to come back and win. Elias, one of the Elias to win, until I saw him come out at number one.
Went really early.
I like Elias.
He went way too early.
And then Andrade as well.
Okay. I had either Bliss or Charlotte winning the women's, and Strowman, without question, for me, was winning the men's.
Yeah. I think we all agreed that Seth was either, like, we had our picks, but Seth was always going to be there.
Yeah.
He was always going to be somewhere around there, but I just thought it was too predictable. So I thought they'd try to throw a curveball at us, and they obviously did it, so they probably went the predictable route more so than anything.
Maybe something unpredictable is coming at Mania.
That's what I hope. I mean, if Kenny Omega decides to come over, or Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn decide to come back, then Mania would be the best time to do it.
Do we think Taker is wrestling this year? And if so, against who?
Cena.
Again?
Yeah.
Because that first match was horrible?
How bad was that? Was so bad.
I thought it was the best match of Mania.
In theory, it should have been, but it wasn't.
Even just the way they set that up, like he's sitting in the crowd and then someone comes up to him.
I thought that was really bad, bro.
Go out the back and get your wrestling gear, even though you're here as a fan and you bought a ticket, and then you come back out in your wrestling gear. Sit down and watch a concert.
I actually thought that was kind of pathetic. I thought the way they set it up was terrible.
I thought the best match on last year's Mania was the triple threat for the IC belt. Oh, actually, no, sorry. Asuka and Charlotte was probably
Asuka and Charlotte, for me, was the best.
Yeah.
What should have been the best, I thought, was the Usos, New Day, Bludgeon Brothers. That should have been really good, but that was a squash match.
It was cut way too short.
Yeah, that was a squash match, which was kind of sad.
So I thought Nakamura style should have been the best match. Last year.
I think everyone was expecting that.
Yeah.
Well, we will definitely do a Mania pod before it comes up, but we'll preview everything. But to the guys, thanks for joining me, guys. Everyone else, the next one will come in 2 weeks. Don't know what we're going to do, but we will keep you posted. Thanks for always listening, and make sure to go check out our sponsors, the Cooper Brothers.
I gotta say something. If you enjoy this podcast, just like he said, go see the Cooper Brothers. They're gonna hook you up. And if you don't like what they got to supply for you, brother, I'm gonna come on you. And I'm gonna roll you up, because I'm the master of the small package, brother.
Well, let me tell you something, Paul Smackage. You're not the only legend who makes surprise guest appearances. I'm back from the dead, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Macho Man, Randy Savage. I came to have a cup of coffee in the big time with the cream of the crop. I can't wait for Mania.
Thanks, guys. Obviously, you're not going to hear any intros or outros better than that anywhere else. So make sure you tune in, like, share, comment on the pod. And hopefully we will see you soon next week to listen for the next pod. DC, Jake, thanks for joining me, brothers.
No worries.
All good.
Thank you. All right, guys, stay tuned and we will get another podcast to you soon. Thanks.